Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. We are 2 days away from Election Day. Coming up on this episode, who is the candidate of change? A new Pew poll tries to answer that question. Terrible economic news for Kamala leading into the final weekend before the election. And your election questions and answers all coming up on today's episode. Our key metrics, the PulseCast. Yes, the PulseCast showing Donald Trump up by about 53% chance to win the election. Kamala Harris right around 47%. So we're not going to see big changes before Tuesday. Maybe a poll or two will change the final tally. But we will do our final prediction show tomorrow on Monday on Stu Does America. So you don't want to miss that. The final chalkboard will put all the states in columns and we'll hope we'll come up with the right answer. Hopefully it's a good one. Okay, let me give you a couple updates. The Pew poll has some interesting things to say. First of all, whether they think Donald Trump or Kamala Harris will actually concede this election if they were to lose. If Trump wins, Harris will accept the results and publicly acknowledge that Trump won. Well, respondents to the poll said 72% of them said yes, Harris will accept her defeat. Only 27% said that she would not. If Harris wins, will Trump accept his defeat? Well, 74% say no, and 24% say yes. I mean, look, Donald Trump has had a history, obviously, in 2020 of saying he believed he lost the race. People kind of forget that in 2016, even though he won, he still said millions of illegal immigrants voted, and actually he won by much, much more. I don't think there's any chance that Donald Trump's going to be like, you know what? She got me. I don't think that's really on the table. I do think, though, that many people in this poll are underestimating the chances that Kamala Harris will come out and fight this to the very, very end. It's funny because, yes, Democrats have always fought every single election in my adult life that Republicans have won for president. The Democrats have said that they actually won. It was stolen from them. Obviously, 2000, it was a major, major situation in 2000. 2004, they said there was the whole voting machine thing in Ohio, which they were saying the election was stolen. 2016, they said it was the Russian interference and, you know, Hillary Clinton famously saying that Donald Trump was not a legitimate president. This is what they do. And I think because Donald Trump pushed so hard in 2020, they're going to use a lot of those same arguments in 2024 if they lose, and the media will treat those arguments much differently. They will say, actually, this time they're legitimate. Actually, this time there are good reasons. This is one of the reasons why, by the way, I was very much in favor of making sure we clarified the rules around, let's say, for example, the vice president being able to not certify the results. The Democrats would have taken advantage of that in a second if they had the opportunity. So I'm glad that one's theoretically fixed a little bit. Now, what about bipartisanship? Now, bipartisanship is a nice word. It's not always actually positive. In fact, some of the worst policies we've ever put in have been bipartisan policies, but that's a whole different story. People look at that tendency positively. So will Kamala Harris work with Republicans in Washington? 20% say it's very likely. Another 35% say it's somewhat likely. So 55% overall think Harris will work with Republicans. Trump, on the other hand, not seen as so bipartisan. 9% say it's very likely he'll work with the other side. 27% say it's somewhat likely. It's interesting, and that's only 36%, by the way, a 19-point disadvantage for Trump on that measure. It's interesting because Donald Trump has worked with the other side, criminal justice reform probably being the most prominent example, but there's been several where he has agreed with the Democrats and worked with them on certain policies. I just think he's just not seen as the most flowery person. He's kind of seen as more of a, he gets angry at the Democrats. It's at least what gets most of the publicity around Donald Trump. So that's that measure. And finally, more voters say that Trump than Harris would bring change. And that is an interesting and positive development for Donald Trump. Would you actually change the way things are going? And would you change it for the better or for the worse? Well, 41% of voters say Donald Trump will change things for the better. 48% say he will change it for the worse. Now, you might say, well, it's a lot of change, but there's more people who think he'll change things for the worse. And that is, that's true, though sometimes change, honestly, is seen as a positive, even sometimes if it's for the worse, which is kind of a strange thing that shows up in polls from time to time. But Kamala Harris, only 29% say she'll change things for the better and 41% for the worse. So Kamala Harris is minus 12 on this measure. Donald Trump is minus 7. Trump's percentage of people who think they'll change things for the better is much, much higher. So that is not a good thing for Kamala Harris. And of course, I should note, this should be obvious. The numbers should be much, much more diverse and disparate than they are. Kamala Harris is currently in the White House, often with Joe Biden. She has she's the vice presidential mansion. She is in the administration. She was asked whether she would change anything, and nothing came to her mind. This should not be a close contest, but partisan reasons mostly, it is a little bit. Okay, let me give you today's focus, and today's focus is going to be your questions and answers. I asked for these on Twitter or X, and I want to give you a rundown of just like what you're thinking right now. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet them or X them. I guess is that what they call it to me at Stu Does America. Question is: you should spend some time analyzing what the odds are of us knowing the winner by the time we wake up on Wednesday morning. My gut has it only at like 10%, but I wonder what the data shows, giving the possibly close results in the swing states. This comes from Mr. Quiet Geek. Well, I think I would go a little higher than 10%. I talked about this a little bit with Megyn Kelly the other day when I was on the show on, I guess it was Halloween. She was a little more optimistic we would find out that night. I think, you know, if you look at certain metrics, one election model shows, I think it's a 39% chance that one candidate or the other will sweep all seven swing states. 39%. So, I mean, not quite half, but pretty close to half. I think it was a 25% chance that Donald Trump would sweep all seven. I think it was Nate Silver who did this analysis. And a 14% chance that Kamala Harris would sweep all seven. And if you think about an election that ends and we actually know the results during our live coverage at blazeelection.com/Stu or even youtube.com/Stu Does America, if we know those results that night, what's likely happened is one of the two candidates has swept these states or at least come close to sweeping these states. They're not going to call the election if they're still counting votes in enough swing states that could turn the tables. So my guess is you're, for lack of a better term, you might call it a more blowout type election. Now, the problem with this, and we all like root for knowing on election night, right? It seems obvious. Why can't we count the votes and know on election night? And of course, I agree with that. I think we should know that night. You look at Florida. We always know what's going on in Florida right away because they're doing it right. Other states, Pennsylvania is a great example of this. They get all this early vote and they sit on it forever and they don't even start to process it until election day. So we get those results really, really late. And it leads people to see giant batches of votes being put in that are normally Democrat and they don't like that. The reversal of this happens in Arizona, where a lot of that vote comes in early. Looks like Democrats have a big lead, and then Republicans come back and with the election day vote and wind up coming back and making it closer. It's just a hodgepodge. So it isn't easy to know. But here's the one thing I will caution Trump supporters on this one. You're rooting to know the results that night. If we know the results that night, or even maybe even the early morning the next day, it is most likely that Kamala Harris is the next president of the United States. And the reason I say this is because because of the time zones and the way these states line up. If you see a situation where Kamala Harris wins Nebraska or Georgia, if those results come in and she wins, excuse me, not Nebraska, North Carolina. If she wins Nebraska, she's definitely winning this election. North Carolina or Georgia. Oh, man, it's been a long week. If she wins North Carolina or Georgia, the chances of Donald Trump winning this election are really low. Really low. It becomes a real problem for Donald Trump to win. And those are the states where we're going to get the results first. So if the early results settle and Kamala Harris wins North Carolina by 4 and Georgia by 3, the chances of Donald Trump winning this election is probably down under 10%. Now, the states where Kamala, if she gets defeated, would be multiple blue wall states. If she's starting to lose multiple blue wall states, then you're in a situation where, wait a minute, Donald Trump might be the early victor. But the problem with this is Donald Trump would still have to win in a lot of these situations, still have to win Arizona and Nevada. So those are later, you know, closer to the West Coast states that will get those results, obviously, in those time zones. Arizona's weird. I can never remember which time zone they're in because they bounce back and forth. But, you know, you're talking mountain time zones. You're talking Pacific time zones. You're way out there. You're getting those results much, much later. And Donald Trump will need to win. They won't be able to call these races, even if Donald Trump picks off Pennsylvania and holds it and wins. I mean, if he wins all three of those blue wall states, you'll be able to do it. But if he wins like Pennsylvania and the other two are too close to call, they're going to have to wait for Nevada and Arizona to be finalized to call the race. So that's where that one leads. And it might lead to some bad places if you're a Trump supporter, if you get a call on election night. Okay, Tommy Eastman writes, if Kamala Harris loses the election, will the Democrats invoke the 25th Amendment and get rid of Joe so that she can destroy the country in 2 months and not the 4 years she has planned? I love the tone of that question. I don't think they will. I don't think there's any chance, in my view. I wouldn't put it higher than a half of a percent that they invoke the 25th Amendment for any reason. I think there's a slightly higher chance that that Joe Biden steps down. I think there's a chance of it, even if Kamala Harris loses. And the way that would go would be, first of all, Joe Biden, or Kamala Harris loses the election. Joe Biden then almost immediately pardons Hunter Biden. Once that's done and all of his business is done, he pardons a bunch of people. It's possible he plans to step down and say, look, I'm done. And I'm not feeling that great these days. I want to spend time with my family. And I think it's important that even though, Kamala Harris was defeated by all you racist voters, it's important that the Democrats can show that a black woman can be president and I'm going to step down so she can step in type of thing. I think that's possible. I don't think that's higher than a couple of a percent, though. So I don't. It's possible. His health obviously makes it possible where he would just step down. But I think there's a chance they do this some sort of ceremonial thing and the Democrats can kind of claim the mantle of having the first black woman president in office. So we'll see on that one. Again, not super high percentage chance, but there is a chance. How much weight do you place in down ballot polls? If a Democratic candidate is up by 7% and Harris is losing the state by 2%, how can you reconcile that difference? This comes from Kurt Anderson. We are seeing a decent amount of that, but I will tell you it's closing. For a long time, we saw wide disparities between Donald Trump's performance in states and some of these Republican Senate candidates. And one of the reasons for that is Donald Trump's super well defined, right? Like people know who Donald Trump is. There's no question about that. They know who Donald Trump is. They have an opinion set about him. Do they know who Eric Hovde is? Like, no, I probably never even heard the name. You may have never even heard the name. So a lot of times it takes time for people to kind of settle into who they think these candidates are. Most people who vote Republican are going to vote for the Republican Senate candidate. It's really rare that they go different directions. One example of this is Susan Collins in Maine. The state goes to the Democrats, but Collins is able to pull out races. Why? Well, she's almost a Democrat sometimes, right? Like she's the most moderate, maybe her and Lisa Murkowski are the two most moderate Republican senators. And so she has more crossover. And Maine's, generally speaking, a pretty independent state. They do some things that are interesting. Like they're going to have a Senate candidate win tomorrow, most likely, who is an independent. Angus King, who will basically be a Democrat. But they like that sort of stuff in that region. And so they have stranger results at times. That being said, we've seen closing. Even Kari Lake, who is down by 8 to 10 points, seems to be more like 2 to 4 points right now in the polls. Hovde, as I mentioned, is much, much closer. Moreno has gone from slightly behind to slightly ahead in Ohio. We're seeing that sort of movement, and it's a good thing for the Senate. I mean, Republicans are in good shape in the Senate. We will do our final prediction on the Senate on Studios America on Monday, so don't miss that. But generally speaking, this situation is improving for Republicans late in the race. Okay, that is our question and answer period for today. We'll do more Q&A tomorrow on State of the Race. We're trying to load you up with as much information as you can possibly get before this election comes. A couple of things before I go. BlazeElections.com/Stu. Go there, subscribe. Be part of the party on Tuesday night. It'll either be a pity party or a gloat fest. I don't know which one it'll be. I hope it's a gloat fest. will walk you through every single detail. And I'm going to try to keep you in the moment so you know where we stand, not just what the electoral count is, but what we can expect that will happen after that electoral count. You know, it's great that the Republicans might be ahead at 8:30 p.m., but we know California's coming. What does this mean? What's the picture look like? I'll try to keep that in perspective throughout the night for you. And then after the Blaze coverage ends, we'll go to YouTube, youtube.com/pseudosamerica. Take a moment right now, if you don't mind. Just go over there and click follow on my page and also click the bell for notifications. You'll know when we go live. We'll try to do as many as we can. Okay, that's all I got for you today on State of the Race. We'll be back tomorrow and we'll have 24 hours left before Election Day. See you then.